Holy Spirit, touch my lips, open our hearts, and transform our lives. Amen. Well, it's a new season, a new year in the life of the church. Advent. It's a time that worship is more solemn, quiet, less festive manner than other seasons in the church. There's no joyous Christmas music during the 4 weeks of Lent, Advent. Advent is a time where Christians around the world commemorate the first coming of the Messiah in our ardent anticipation of the second coming as judge. Actually, the word Advent comes from the Latin word Adventus, which means coming or arrival. Advent is a time to prepare for His coming, a time to look at our lives, a second chance to be the kind of person the Lord knows we can be. The Bible stories of John the Baptist are stories of preparation and transition. John has come to make straight the path. A quote from one of my favorite plays, Godspell, is, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." Well, that's actually Mark chapter 1, verse 3, but I really like Godspell. John the Baptist is a transition from the promise of the Old Testament to the New Testament reality of Christ in the flesh. In Advent, each year, we remember the reality and the new promise of His second coming. In Jeremiah today, we heard God tell Jeremiah, "I will fulfill the promise I have made the house of Israel and the house of Judah." We also heard God say that He will raise a righteous branch spring up from David. This is the messianic message told throughout the Old Testament, told by the patriarchs, by the prophets, the promise of the first coming. If we look at the New Testament today, in Thessalonians we see Paul's heartfelt wish for this young church and for us today, that the Lord may strengthen our hearts in holiness and that we may be blameless before God and faith, that we the coming of the Lord with all of His saints. A new promise that if we prepare, the Lord will give our hearts the strength to be blameless, to have faith, to give us another chance to live and be ready for His coming. Both Jeremiah and Paul paint a very pretty picture. Luke, not so much. Luke's reading relates a rather ominous sounding prediction from Jesus that there will be signs, distress, confusion, fear and foreboding. This sounds more like the 6 o'clock news or a political speech. We are told that we will know when He will return, that there will be, we must be ready. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down in desperation and darkness and worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Nevertheless, Jesus gives us good news as well. He says, "Be alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all of those things that will take place and stand before the Son of Man." Luke speaks of signs and symbolism. If we look around the church today, we'll see all kinds of symbols of Advent. The blue permanence on the altar and pulpit, the vestments on our priests, and our Advent wreath, which we lit earlier. The symbolism of the wreath and its candles is compelling. The ring of evergreen is without a beginning or an end, symbolizing God's complete and unending love for us. The candles hold back the darkness of winter. These are the darkest, shortest days of the year until Christmas, when Jesus, the light of the world, returns, and the days begin to get longer. Each week we light an additional candle, showing the gifts that Jesus brings to this world. The first candle is purple, and it symbolizes hope. The second candle denotes peace, The third candle is rose and represents joy. The fourth candle is purple and stands for love. During my research for the sermon, I found that there are many different interpretations or meanings for the different colors. There's a more biblical version, which shows the path of the Messiah into the world, where the first two candles represent the patriarchs and the prophets. The third candle, the rose candle, represents John the Baptist, and the last candle represents the Virgin Mary. However, all of the traditions that I found all represent that white candle as the light of Jesus in the world. All the symbols of the new beginning in Christ, these symbols in our church and in our world, in our worship, remind us that God loves us, that we are all His creatures, perfectly imperfect. I really believe that every day it is God's desire for me, for all of us, to live our lives with strong hearts, full of holiness, blameless in faith, and in faith. I have been thinking a lot of the next few months, and it dawned on me that, God willing, as a deacon, I will be the guy in the back of the church, sending all of us out into the world, saying, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. That's not just a dismissal, but it's our deep, deep hope that you and I will live up to God's expectations, that we are ready and will not be caught in Luke's trap that he mentioned. But here's another one of those wonderful parts of our worship. The very next Sunday, as a deacon, I will be standing here asking for our forgiveness because we didn't get it right. We were not perfect. We all sin. But we get another chance because God loves us. If we repent, we'll be forgiven. Dear Lord, in this Advent season, help us to prepare for your coming. Thank you for your never-ending love and forgiveness. I pray that we will take this second chance to be worthy and ready. I also pray for those in the world who think that their life is unredeemable and that the Lord has forgotten them. Send the Holy Spirit to let them know that God loves them and forgives them. Let them know that Jesus is the light in the darkness, that they have a second chance. Amen.